I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Day one of Patriots training camp at Gillette, and football coverage on WEEI is brought to you by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. We will get to, they said it, a quick back and forth on what they said yesterday in sports, and we will certainly discuss what one NFL coach said about the job he offered Bill Belichick. But we were in the middle of today's leads when we were interrupted. Curtis, good morning and hello.
Good morning, Greg. I love talking ball, but every once in a while, there is an anniversary we can't forget about. Today, 20 years ago, the greatest regular season baseball game of my lifetime, A-Rod Varitek, was exactly 20 years ago today when Bronson Arroyo, we all talk about the Nomar trade, the unbelievable comeback in the ALCS, the sweep of the Cardinals, all of it. None of it happens without this day 20 years ago. Here's how it sounded.
Varitek's walking with A-Rod, they're having words. Varitek and A-Rod are having words, and now they're in a fight. Here is Alex Rodriguez and Jason Barrett taking a fight, and both benches empty. They're along the foul line, first base side. Players from both teams and milling about.
Here's the pitch. Swing a high drive deep to left. Back goes Sheffield. There's the bullpen, and it is gone. And the Red Sox have won it on a walk-off two-run homer by Phil Miller off Mariano Rivera. Can you believe it?
My favorite post-game quote 20 years ago, I think it was Kevin Millar, I'm not sure, was that they went 2-0 that day. They won the fight and they won the game. And I sadly left early. We don't need to go down that road. But it was an unbelievable game that really showed what we would end up learning about the true character of that team in a very small sample size in that game. But awesome day, Saturday afternoon, day game on Fox. I remember so vividly the guys came running down beneath our seats in the concession area at Fenway Park, cutting off beer sales in the fourth inning because the park was getting unruly. Just an unbelievable day 20 years ago where the current bench coach, Jason Varitek, truly became the captain of the Boston Red Sox.
And that team went on to win it all. Right. And I don't know how much of, when you look at that particular moment, you think that was a part of that whole.
That was the Pedro Zimmerman too, right? That was all?
That was the ALCS.
Oh, that was the ALCS. Okay.
That was the year before.
Yeah. Okay.
But Arroyo and A-Rod have this odd relationship because you remember game six of the ALCS that year. A-Rod famously used the big hand swap to get the ball out of Arroyo's hands that led to the baseballs being thrown on the field. But just an awesome, unbelievable day. There will never be a rivalry in baseball like that at that time. Unbelievable.
Didn't you have an Austin Powers reference on the show earlier this morning?
That was B.A. Fat Bastard.
Yes. A-Rod throwing his glove is like when Austin Powers says, you threw a shoe, right. Honestly.
Who throws a shoe? I mean, honestly.
All right, Curtis, thank you.
Thank you.
Courtney, good morning.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Wednesday. You know I hate to do this, but Shine was wrong. Plain and simple. I missed his lead on Monday as I was out, but he talked about this kerfuffle of Noah Kahan and Zach Bryan hating each other. Noah was pissed because Zach stood him up for his concert on Friday at Fenway. Yeah. And, you know, he was upset about it. Well, Brianna Chicken Fry, who we introduced Curtis to yesterday, is Zach Bryan's girlfriend. She was in attendance at Fenway on Friday for Noah Kahan's concert. She released a TikTok to set the record straight.
Thank God.
And here that is.
Okay. Really funny, honestly. We sit back and we watch all the rumors that, like, people make up, and they so indefinitely believe them. But this one is just annoying the out of me because I keep seeing it all over social media and it's not about me, so I feel like I have to defend it. I saw like a few comments here and there about it because I went to the Noah Kahan show, but then I just saw this video. Zach Bryan bailed on Noah Kahan sold out show at Fenway Park at Saturday because he was too drunk. And then this stupid makes a video. It's like a blind item and she's like, you are the company you keep and the company's always gonna drag you down. Talking about me. It's just so funny because you guys are always wrong. He didn't even come to the concert, you dumbasses. He didn't even come to the show. Here's a text right before. Doing okay, baby? Almost there. Johnny won't shut up that you're not there. Blah, 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 blah. What us? Whatever. This is us taking a van to the concert. He didn't come to the show because he just did a 2.5 hour set at Gillette, a sold out motherfucking stadium. His voice was fried and he was going on the longest run of his life the next morning. The internet is a crazy place and it's always wrong.
Well, sounds like Shime owes Zach Bryan an apology.
See, I don't owe anybody an apology. All I did was simply report on that blind item that came out and the TikTok that she also referenced. And so I just happened to bring it up because I was curious. Yeah. I was at the show Friday night. He said he had a great guest lined up. Unfortunately, things fell through. So, of course, everybody's head starts spiraling.
I have a question. Where did Brianna Chicken Fried put that post?
TikTok.
Is that on the internet?
Yeah.
So is she saying she's wrong?
So he was in Duxbury then.
Yeah, he was on his way there resting or something like that.
What was the big run? What does that mean? Like he was going on a run the night?
Probably was doing more shows.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
He was like going to Orlando.
Courtney, thank you for clearing that up.
All right, you're welcome.
Wiggy, good morning.
All right, good morning. So as I did a little digging here and, you know, as we get ready for the USA men's basketball team, I have to say I have zero interest in this.
Are you kidding me?
And the reason why is this. I remember the 92 Dream Team Olympics, and I was, like, super excited about that. And just, like, the greatest basketball players, you know, in America coming together to go out there and show their dominance. Well, here's a little stat from the 92 Dream Team, that they averaged a 43-point-per-game victory margin against the teams that they played.
43 points.
43 points. That was the average.
Yeah.
The average of the differential between, you know, the what they scored and the, you know, the other team scored. And then I looked and I saw another stat. They didn't have one game where they scored under 100 points. Not one. Now, I understand that it's the, what do they call it? The preliminaries?
Prelims. Yes.
Prelims. And the USA men's basketball team, which I feel like should be dominating, has already scored under 100 points in three games. They've played in probably three games where it's been pretty close against Germany. They almost lost to South Sudan. So as somebody who loves basketball, loves, enjoys watching basketball, and the expectations are when you put this type of team together, you should be able to dominate like the 92 Dream Team did.
Well, I think they will. I think they will.
And
when they get to the actual Olympics.
Do you believe that, though?
Well, let me. One thing that I think you have to consider is that in 1992, there really weren't too many international players that were playing in the NBA.
I get that.
You know what I mean?
It's kind of like why Tiger is having a harder time winning now. It's actually his fault because he brought so many people to golf that make it more difficult to win. The Dream Team brought so many international people to basketball that it actually makes it more difficult to win now.
Right. Well, in 1992, you had all of the NBA's best playing for the USA.
Right.
Now you don't.
Right.
Right.
But if
Germany was led by some guy who was playing soccer with the hoop.
And Germany was led by some guy who was playing soccer with the hoop this year. Name me one German.
Dirk Nowitzki is pretty good. He's not on the team, but there's been a lot of German basketball since 92.
But what I'm saying is if you look at the teams that they've played, other than Canada, which was SGA, who I think he's Canadian, you still have the best players. Yeah, and I know there's other players like Serbia they're going to play in game one.
Mm.
Isn't that where the joke is from?
Yeah.
Right, so they'll have one player who will be in the – and it's similar to the 92 Dream Team. There were other teams in the Olympics during that year. I believe Tony Kukoc was on
– Croatia.
Croatia.
Yes.
So you'll have plays, but this should be more dominance. Like, this team concerns me.
To me, the prelim games don't mean anything. Like, I'll wait and see.
You don't think they're trying as hard?
I don't think they do. I mean, I don't know. They're NBA players.
Greg was diagramming a box in one that they're going to use in the actual games.
Yeah, we're going 50 blue. All right.
It concerns me.
Wiggy, thank you.
You got it.
All right. Since training camp starts today at Gillette, I thought I would mention the news, which came via NFLPA Executive Director Lloyd Howell in the Washington Post, that the NFL and the Players Association have begun high-level negotiations on the 18-game season.
I'm John Arand, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Many means one thing and one thing only, and that is a holiday on the day after the Super Bowl, the way the schedule would time out.
Yep.
Wiggy, you played.
Mm-hmm.
You think the players eventually agreed to add another regular season game? I would love it.
I think so, because it probably will mean more money in their pocket.
Okay.
I mean, at the end of the day, that's all NFL. Well, that's the majority of NFL players. If you could put more money in my pocket, I'll take it.
It ends up meaning, I think, the way they have to figure it out, two bye weeks, correct?
Would it be two bye weeks?
I think so. That's what they're talking about, which is kind of, I mean, yeah, another bye week. But you get another game out of it.
Right, I think the NFL and most people would love the Super Bowl to fall on that weekend.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, and then it might help out because maybe the NFL goes, here, if we add another game, we'll eliminate a preseason game. So it's two preseason games.
Did you notice Courtney and Shime, they heard that and they started mouthing flex time?
I got excited, and then I said, wait, it won't matter to me.
We can't take that day off. We should not take that day off.
I agree.
We should be here after the Super Bowl.
That is correct.
Unfortunately. Yep. But yeah. I don't know. I think it. Why not?
I think it's a good idea.
Yeah.
What if we did our show 10-2 the day after the Super Bowl?
I would be in for that.
Okay.
All right. Those are this morning's leads. We're going to get to They Said It, a quick back and forth on what they said yesterday next. But first, Courtney, and what is trending right now?
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Sox shut out the Rockies 6-0 to even out their series in Colorado. Cooper Criswell struck out 5 over his 7 innings pitch. Tyler O'Neill had a bomb of a homer in this one, blasting one off 465 feet to the left field for a solo. They've got another one with the Rockies tonight, 3:10 first pitch, with Nick Pivetta taking the mound. You can hang out with Christian Arcand at 2:10 for the MassMutual pregame show. Then Will Fleming and Lou Maloney have the call on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network right here on EEI and, as always, on the Odyssey app. Pat's training camp opens up today, 11 a.m. start for practice. We should hear from Gerard Mayo before that at 10:30. After practice, we'll hear from a bunch of different players, including Ramondre Stevenson. There is a fly around here.
It's getting
very close to me.
You want me to kill it?
Yeah, I would love that. Okay. Yeah, I don't hurt animals or flies or anything.
Alpha.
You're going to do it with your bare hand?
He'll never catch it. Easy, Daniel, son.
Oh!
Oh!
Oh my gosh! Missed.
Uh-huh. That would have been
the Miyagi right there.
We'll get it.
If you got that, I would have had you retire right there.
Do you know how you catch a fly that way by doing it? Do you know where you position your hands?
No. Oh, God.
You position your hands slightly behind the fly. Do you know why? Because the fly, when taking off like an aeroplane, flies up backwards. Not forwards. So science has determined that the best way to kill a fly is to place your hands behind it and catch the backward runway approach.
It pains me to be a wise ass, Greg, but that would have been a lot more believable had you actually just killed the fly.
I just missed it. I just barely missed it.
That is what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
By the way, I just wanted to say thank you to everybody at Granite Links. The staff couldn't have been nicer with James running around like a toddler.
Yeah.
Everybody was so kind. And the Quincy officers that brought the police patches.
Yes.
It's just, it is so amazingly generous and kind. So thank you to all of those wonderful people. And
James loves, like a lot of young kids, loves fire trucks and police cars. And so every time we go anywhere, road show or live show, all of the local first responders show up with stuff for James. It's awesome.
It is so kind.
Should get him in a ride-along, Curtis.
Well, they have a Touch a Truck event in Needham a couple months ago. We went, and all the Needham officers, good morning. They love the show. And you got to, like, ride in or sit in the cars. It's great. We should all, never lose that. Mm-hmm. That the childlike appreciation of first responders and police officers.
Yep. Shout out Guy Pat from Quincy Police.
And Dalen.
And Dalen. Oh, my God. Dalen brought balloons and chocolate for James's birthday.
Oh, yeah.
And Dalen's setting up today to Lake Winnipesaukee. Thank you, Courtney, for a fun vacation. So our nicest, sweetest listeners, Dalen and her mom. 68 degrees and cloudy right now in Boston. Afternoon high of 75.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.